Blog Talk Radio.
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy, such a dummy. To let the mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so bad. I'd be such an angel. You'd think that me and Jesus was cool. Like that, just like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should have done. Should have walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love.
Alafia, greetings and hotep. Welcome to the Curatory Room. You've got your own Inka Shoving here live, coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you and say Habari Ghani to my old friends and what's up to my new friends. Ladies and gentlemen, you are embarked upon the last days. And these are the last days of the year that we're looking at, and we're talking about the last prayer request. And we're going to also couple that with the last schools of thought. And as you know, as we climb up the ladder to different schools of thoughts, that means we graduate from one thing and advance ourselves to another. Now, you know at the end of any transition or training, there is a test. So we're not going to only talk about the prayer. We're going to be talking about the test. And do we get the lesson first before the test? Or do sometimes we get the test and then the lesson? We're going to find out how we can deal with the test and the lesson. And we're going to see what schools of thought have we actually covered. We're going to do a review over those schools of thought. And we're going to ask questions. And we're going to see if we are prepared to make that transition. Because we do have to take a review and a test of life. This is just a rehearsal here, ladies and gentlemen. Our real test is when we get into the new world, where we will lose the perishable bodies and come into a glorious mindset. There's going to be changes happening as we wobble over into the new millennium. And we've been talking about some of those changes. We haven't been too heavy on the sciences because we didn't want to be too stuffy. But we certainly are going to be talking about some of those changes that are going to be taking place. We've talked about everything from forgiveness to using our clairvoyant ability to use our third eye. And if we have a veil over our eyes, how can we find out how to remove it? We've talked about being psychic. We've even talked about transitioning our curriculum from a curriculum that is non-culture to one that is culture. We talked about how we can change our attitude towards one another and how we can be more forgiving and how we can exit out of these dead relationships and come into new consciousness and be able to be more conscious-minded. And all of this comes about with change, ladies and gentlemen. And every day, we're like an amoeba. We're changing, we're transitioning, and we're making that move towards losing old cells and creating new cells. So will our glorious bodies be any good in the new world? Will we have to have a spiritual body? Will we be able to transcend cold, heat, worry, and emotional problems? And will we be dealing with other new known thoughts and problems? And will we be able to use our brain, more of our brain than what we have in the past? You know, we're only using 20% of our brain. How much more can we comprehend and push ourselves to use more of our brain? I think we're going to be using more brain power, ladies and gentlemen. And I think we're going to be using more brain power because we have not taken advantage of the large percentage of the dark matter brain that we are letting lay dormant, and we need to tap into all areas of that. We're going to be talking about that in just a minute, so why don't you stay tuned? We're going to get up front and close and personal. and we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting up front and personal. How magnificent, how amazing it is that we can get up front and personal with you. Thank you so much for allowing me to come into your living room. I'm inviting you right into my studio in my home. So why don't you just relax? We're getting down to the last few days of our prayer request. And as we go over to the talking cure area, that's where we want to put our signatures across the wire. So if you have any prayer requests now that you would like to be prayed for, this is a behavior modification. That's all prayers. And it's nothing that we should be afraid of. And we're going to stop preaching so much, and we're going to start meditating more. I like to get more into the meditating mode, and hopefully for next month we'll use more of our meditation music to get us in the right frame of mind of just allowing our brains to permeate. So if you go over to the throne of grace with me as we prepare to do our libation for our ancestors, I certainly would appreciate it. And in like manner, you do the same thing. And as I begin to acknowledge Oladudamare, who is also Akamare, and he is the God of the universe, we would like to acknowledge Akamare, and we say Ashe. And as we get ready to pour the libation, ladies and gentlemen, why don't you get your cup of water and also do as I do, and I say Ashe. I like to pour libation to my mother spirit, Yamanja. She is the mother of the ocean, of the water. She represents the mother of the universe, and she represents the mother of the creeks and rivers and anything that does that deals with the vast water. And I say Ashe to my mother, Clara Jenkins, Ashe. I like to acknowledge my father's spirit. His name is Obatala. He's the man in white who was at the right hand of God and who knows all and sees all. And we could go before Obatala with a request as our Baba. He is my father's spirit. You can find out who your father's spirit is through talking with the priest and asking her to do a divination to tell you who's on your head for your mother's spirit and who's on your head for your father's spirit. And I say, Ashe to Obatala, my father's spirit, Robert Jenkins. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time that we call on our ancestors, and we need them to make the circle complete, to make the family complete. When they are present here, they close the gaps of disparity. We need them here so that they can also intervene on behalf of the needed things that we are lacking. Remember, they do cycle back into our lives through the eyes of a child, and we never lose a loved one. They only recycle and come back. Life is a cycle of death. Life is a cycle of life, and there is no such thing as matter dying. Matter can never die, nor can it be recreated. So it has got to recycle back and disperse into the energy from which it came. And usually our energy and our family loved ones go back to the area from which they came. So let's assume that we can go out to the rivers now and call on all of those dear souls which we might not know the names of and call them back into being. As we think about our Mayafa and the middle passage and how we travel through, and most of us didn't make it. There's still yet dear souls out there on the water who never made it, and some that are trapped in the oceans. And for those souls, we call them back into being. We ask them to allow us to stand on their shoulder. We ask them to also to fill in the gap and go out and make the way open and clear for us. Open up the pathways. We send the prayers out on the water. Father, today we come to you with the last few prayers, not meaning that we will stop asking you and pleading with you, but for the last few days before December 21st, Father, allow us to be conscious about what it is we need to ask for. Father, do not let us become material-minded, but let us ask for those things that will help strengthen us and help us to get into your path and to your plan. Show us the way into your plan, Father. You know man plans, but you are the best of planner, and we're asking you to show us how to be a part of your life. And as we recite these last prayers, we ask that every child and every family present here today will be able to tap in to the energy power, and they will be able to request the desires of their heart, Father. And Father God, we just thank you for everything you've done for us and for all those things you're going to do for us. Now let us meditate on your word more often, Father, and let us call you forth and into our being. And we thank you, we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we magnify you and say amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you are to pray and not faint. In the last days, we're required to pray in the last days. You don't have to say an audible prayer. Your prayer could be a silent one. A prayer without ceasing can be silent. Everything doesn't have to be audible. But it's very important that you lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. And why don't you come into our chat rooms if you'd like to be a part of this session. We're now about to start our segment. That phone number once again is 646-478-0270. And we're calling out those people out there who are prayer warriors. This is a time we should meet up and touch and agree, because as we atone for the problems and for the mistakes we've made to the Mother Universe, this is a time Mother Universe can hear us and accept our petition. We certainly have a lot to pray about, and we could never get in everything we need to touch bases with God about. But let's go on and talk a little bit about the last schools of thought and what happens at the end of a training or a lesson. You then get a review and a test. Now, some of us may say we've already got the test before the lesson, and that's how it usually goes. You'll get a test, and you go through everything, and some of us, if we're on our toes and we're sharp, we're going to pass that test. And once we pass that test, we don't have to go back to that lesson or school of thought anymore. And what I've tried to create for you is, ladies and gentlemen, a school of thought. It's okay to be in a low level. Just don't stay there. But it's important to graduate and go to another school of thought. Just like some people who go into Christianity and might find that it's the best thing since chocolate cake and want everybody to share it and be a part of it. But then after that person grows and develops and start learning and reading and cross-referencing, then they grow, and then they find themselves in another school of thought. And people will say, what happened? You're not a Christian anymore? You no longer want Jesus Christ? It's not that the person doesn't want Jesus Christ. It might be because they've advanced themselves. You know, when you were a child, you did the things of a child, but when you became older, you put the things of a child away. And some things in Christianity can be childlike, and it makes you start believing for things without factual information. And remember how the preacher will come out and say, well, just believe it because God said it. And then you go believing it. You don't question it, you don't challenge it, and you don't even try to buffer it to see if it could withstand. And God has already, he's invited us to challenge him and to and command him. He even said in the book, command him. So some of you Christian ought to be commanding God to show me in the book where the African-American presents themselves. Show me how and what the end is going to be. We can command God to watch over his promises. So if we know we have those kind of skills and ability, then some of the things in the Bible we ought to ask to clarify, like the last days. To clarify, what are the last days, and what type of new world are we going to come into? Those are some questions we should be asking God, instead of asking God to be a bellhop to provide all these new tools and trinkets and widgets and clothes and cars. We should be asking God, how do we prepare ourselves for this new world order? And what are the things that we have to take into the new life? A prayer is nothing but a behavior modification. And a behavior modification could consist of a meditation, of a chant. It could consist of you sending signals out into the atmosphere, hoping that you exchange them and receive them back. So don't think that you have to hoop and holler and cry and scream and jump up and down and do the holy dance to get a prayer through. We got to come away from this old traditional way of praying and realize that a silent is better than go. And when you go into meditation, it's a time for God to talk to you, to respond to you. with not necessarily you doing all the talking to him. So meditation is just as honorable. And when we learn to chant, you have special words, you have hekka. We've talked about that in this room, where when you chant, you also bring God into the permeation of your atmosphere and allows that one word of power to go forward, to open up doors for you. We're becoming a powerless society, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have any power anymore, and we're not able to muster up anything or create anything for ourselves. We're just powerless, but yet we go in that Christian church and start stomping up and down and say, look at us now, look how far you brought me. And even though we've been brought far, we have no power. And we profess the funk, and we fake the funk. We got to, you know, just like the songwriter said, we can't fake the funk anymore. You can't stand in any of these lines and pretend that someone has touched you in the head and you have been made whole, and the next week you're in that line again and again and again. Someone must call you on it and say, how many times must you be healed for the same thing? Has that issue of blood come back again? Has it not been healed? I know the Bible says that you will you will recover. He didn't say instantly be healed. I understand that. But you have some ministers and deacons and evangelists who are ministering without any power, but yet they profess to have the power. They have good patience, and they're asking you to have patience to wait until they're fully endowed with authority. You don't have to do that. You can be fully endowed with the power to heal yourself, because God gives you the ability to speak words of wisdom over your situation. He says you need not let anyone teach you, that the Holy Spirit will give it to you and he will teach you. So what is the use of a prayer? Well, the use of a prayer is to request something. And remember, we talked about forgiveness and asking for forgiveness if we want to ask for a mountain to be removed, like over in the book of Mark. So you got a lot to consider. You have got to be in a forgiving mode. You can't be walking around with a lot of stuff on your plate and unforgiveness and then think you're going to go before God with a prayer. And he says, especially over in one, I think it was in the book of Timothy, don't bother to ask anything of him if you have not been good to your wife. So, men, I want to speak to you. If you have been fragile to your wife, unconsiderate, misbehaving, and just downright out and out acting like a jerk towards your wife, it would behoove you to go in that kitchen and put your arms around her and hug her sometime and say something nice and sweet to her and try to honor her request. I don't care how big they are, how small they are, just try to honor her request. Most women don't want very much. They just want to know that you would go to the end of the river or the end of the ocean for them. But it doesn't take that much to put a smile on their face, and it also will serve you well, because when you get ready to go on your knees to make a prayer request and you know you've been good to your wife, you can just about ask God for anything. Because, see, we're the spiritual side of God. And when people are talking about descriptions of God and they're using a man, they're quite wrong. The description of God is the feminine side of a woman. So God might as well be a woman, and we don't really know. He could be duality, woman and male. But the main thing we must understand is that a man has got to cherish a woman, because the Bible does talk about her being a church. We know she's not a physical church. That's why we got to grow up from this stuff, from the Bible. You can't take everything literally. You have to understand that there are sheer paced written words in the Bible, and things that are not literal, they're allegorical stories. So how many stories can African American digest? We're adults now, so we have to take these stories as literally a story and not something that's literal, and we have to look at the circumstances that these people were in and how they came about the story, and then try to see if it could possibly fit around our lives. But if not, we don't go making up stories and making them fit into our lives. Now, as we look at the story about the snake, that whole resemblance of the snake and the reptilian, and the whole part was somewhat made up, but yet you've got people still looking for snakes to come out of the garden and start talking. So we've got to grow up and advance ourselves and go to another school of thought and go to a higher form of consciousness. Consciousness, a higher form of consciousness. Because in the end times of this new world, it's going to be called for us to have a mind that can understand and comprehend higher consciousness. Not necessarily you'd have to be a brainiac or an intellect or a ghetto intellect, but you're going to have to be able to process to understand what higher intellect means. It means that we're going to have to really see that some of the things we have been learning are childlike. And you just cannot grasp them just because someone in the church told you to grasp them. You got to start reasoning. So what is prayer? If you know what prayer is or you have a definition of prayer, why don't you call in 646-478-0270. And don't tell me somebody getting out on the ground saying, grounding and moaning and crying. People go in the church and they get overwhelmed when they see this, and they become broken and they become harmed and they cannot handle all of the yelling and screaming, and they don't get the teaching. Now, we've had those churches in our past. We all have had them. It's a foundation. But we went in there, we thought we were really having church because we were getting someone to perform. We don't need another performer in the church. We need someone to educate and to make us more consciously aware of what we're dealing with. We're a mechanical body. We are made up of atoms. We are miraculously made, and we're capable of functioning in a miraculous way. But we have not ventured to learn all of the mechanics of our magnificent body and what we're capable of doing. And if Jesus said that we were going to do greater things than him, guess what? Signs and wonders are supposed to be following us. And we're supposed to be able to begin to do some of these greater things. We're in the end times now. What is all this prayer for if you have no authority? The whole thing about prayer is to give you authority so that you can speak things over a situation and the word will perfect that which is intended to do. So I don't want you to think that all prayer should be hooping and hollering and yelling. You can go into a situation praying without ceasing in your spirit, just a word of a chant, and holding on to that word of a chant to say it over and over again and using it whenever you feel weary, using that powerful word to lift you out of that state. Now, words are very powerful. Didn't you know that? Words are so powerful that the ancient ones knew that they could use certain words to stop a war or certain words to cause a war. So you've got to get back into your wordology and realize that words can fight for you and they can go on fighting for you even unto death. And words can be used as a powerful tool. So your tongue is like a two-edged sword, as you know. It has the ability to cut going in and cut going out. So you have to be very careful how you use your tongue and bridle it so that you are not condemning someone with your tongue. Now, prayer, once again, we have to understand that there are so many different forms of prayer. And you can go into the Buddhist religion and find that their prayer is not like ours. They are not praying out audibly, asking God for anything. They are chanting words, and they are using powerful words to get the effect that they want. So they are not in there putting a whole pledge together, telling God what they will do for him in exchanging a game. If I do this to you, God, will you do that for me? It's like, let's make a deal. Now, we don't serve that kind of God. But yet we have been functioning in that capacity all our lives, trying to play games with God. That's probably why we still think we can see God and live. But the Bible clearly tells you, you can't see God and live. No man has seen him and live. Now, I tell you all the time in this room, one of the reasons why you can't see God is because he's pure, ratified energy. He is such ratified energy that you would become burnt to a crisp if you had the opportunity to look at God, because he is ratified energy. And he should be, because when the lightning comes, then you've seen God, because that's the ratified energy. But we have to understand that he said he would not come down to this earth. He gave us dominion, and he cannot reduce himself to the level of a man, else he would not be God. And he would cease from being God if he reduced himself to the level of a man. So let's put God in his proper place. Let's see him as being pure, ratified energy, meaning he will burn you up so you cannot approach God. So he created a hierarchy for you. He created a general level of the private and then the general and then the corporal. So you got to go through the chains of command to speak to him about topics, but you have to talk to the lesser person. So therefore, these prayers that you've been praying out into the atmosphere, do you actually think God is going to come and take each one of those prayers and open up the envelope and sit there and read it? God is not out in that atmosphere. God is everywhere, and he's personally in you. That's why he's giving you very own Ori. Your very own God has been deposited into your being. So when you need to consult with God about something, you go inwardly. Let's stop now and think. If I'm going inwardly, I need my room quiet. I need to be silent. I need to be able to go away from the outside world, and I need to permeate God and call God forward. But here's another thing. When you're going through a little something and you feel to be pressured, the more pressure you're going through, the easier it is to push God forward. Because it seems that's the only time we're going to bring God out is when we're going through a crisis. And then we begin to look more and more like God, and our strength becomes well known and is perfected in God's strength, because we can't perfect it in our own strength. So what is this name called God? Actually, the name called God is the word spelled backwards for dog. And so many theologians have talked about how we have to look for God and find God. He isn't up in these churches. I want you to know that. He isn't in someone's home playing church or on the videotape in the media. That's not where God is. God is found in our residence. He takes up residence within us. So every one of us have a deposit of God in us. So if we really want to see God, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to go and look into the eyes of our loved ones and find God there as we help that person to manifest God in their life. And so if we cannot respect human beings, then how can we ever think about paying homage to God? Because God has deposited a little bit of himself into all of us so that we will treat the church, not only the church, but human beings, like we were interacting with God. Because truly, if you really wanted to see a Martin Luther King or a Malcolm X, you have to find them through the eyes of your children. Because he was a concept too, like Jesus, or they were. And they will come back into the hearts of the people. We won't see them physically coming back again in the atmosphere. And this thing about hell being below us and it's okay to walk on the ground because hell is there and the fiery brimstone won't hurt us, but we know it's there. If the fiery brimstones were there, you wouldn't be able to walk on this ground. Now let's reason together. Think. If the fiery brimstones were below you and you were going to walk on this ground, you could not do so because of the fire and the heat that would permeate the brick pavement. So let's start reasoning together. I want us to be more conscious about what it is we believe, because we've got to get this thing prayer together, because we're spending far too much time using God like a bellhop and not understanding you can strengthen yourself through the words of prayer when you silently meditate on words and not begin to jump up and down and hoop and holler and scream to God and do your little holy dance. That is a form of godliness, but denying the power from there above. I want you to be strong in your conviction. So when you're strong in your prayer, it's not always hooping and hollering. I even said I was going to stop some of that hooping and hollering because you don't get anybody anywhere with that type of prayer. But African-Americans, you know that's the way we've been taught. And the more whooping and hollering we hear, the more we declare, ooh, didn't that brother preach? You know, girl, he really couldn't preach. Girl, he done preached the church down. He done preached the people up out of the church. See, we want somebody to come in and entertain us, but that's not how it's got to go. You got to realize that we've got a God inside of us, and the God inside of us is going to manifest himself as we begin to start to kill off the old man, and that's the flesh, denying the flesh and bringing it up under subjection and beating it down so that it doesn't get its way. So you can't be in front of God asking God to feed this flesh and do things for this flesh because the flesh is whooping you and forcing you to get things done. You've got to take dominion over the flesh. And that's one thing we got to do before we can do anything with knowing ourselves. Now, we're talking about consciousness. How do you have consciousness at the same time understanding how to use the power of prayer? Now, some people hear me in this room play secular music, and you hear me play gospel music and speak on the Bible. But I think you become holy and good for nothing when you pretend to only like Christian music and only like Christian concept, and you don't deal with the everyday life. Then you become a narrow-minded person who can't cope with life in general. And see, when the salt has lost its savor, it's no good for nothing else but trampling over. So we've got to get the understanding that you deal with life every day. That's why I tell people that if God's given you a gift to sing, it doesn't have to only be for gospel music. If you have gotten a gift for singing and you decide that you want to sing the blues or you want to sing the jazz, then those are open opportunities. I am not that fast heart of a person that I will come to you and say, oh, you're not being a Christian because now you're not singing any of the gospel songs, you're singing blues songs. I believe God gave all the music to us, and he wants us and inhabits us to sing the music, else he would have never gave it to us. So don't go thinking you're any holier because that's all you sing is. All I sing is gospel music. I don't sing any of that secular stuff. I'm going to get to heaven. You're going to get nowhere because God has not promised you because you decided to sing his music that he was going to put you in heaven. What do people come off with quoting God falsely, saying things that God has never said? And what do people come off as saying, God told me to tell you this? If God had something to tell me, and this is what you need to put in your pocketbook, Christians, and hold on to it, because some people got itchy ears, and you always got these false prophets walking up to you telling you, God told me to tell you this, and I sense this, and I sense that. If God had something to tell me, and he gave me my own personal guide, don't you think he would be on his job ministering to me through my spirit, and I would automatically already know what it is he wanted to tell me? So don't let people come up to you playing God. So God is not going to send you another God on the outside. He's going to dwell with you and have a relationship with you. Now, if you don't have a relationship with God, you might start believing anything that people tell you, including some of these false preachers. See, you have to understand, God gave you a mind to have common sense. You're a free will agent. And because you're a free will agent, you can sit down and make reasonable decisions about what is really real. Now, I'm going to ask you, Christians, what is really real? And are we just looking for a savior, somebody to save us and get us out of the situation? Then God will allow you to have a savior. But he wants a relationship with you. He inhabits a relationship with you. And some of us are not developing a relationship with God. We want the preachers to do all the work, and then all we want to do is nod our heads and go along with whatever he's saying. We don't want to sit down with God and have a real personal relationship. Because if we did, you would be getting more perfected gifts out of people. And that's one thing we're going to have to do in the end time as we transition into this new life. We're going to have to get stronger in our faith and our conviction. And we're going to have to come out of these churches and start having more relationships with God and having more visions where we can see things for ourselves and not let people put on us a lot of falsehood. Because church is binding. Religion is binding. You ought to free yourself and develop a time where you become absent from all forms of religion that tie you to anything and go into a relationship with God. I'm not telling you to practice anything and having any type of denominational religion attraction, but I'm telling you to have a relationship with God. That's all I can tell you. But I do know African Americans have gravitated to everything but their real original self. And when you know yourself and understand who your ancestors were and who they brought here and who they civilized, you will realize that they have done the job that God has intended. You're looking everywhere but inwardly. Try looking inwardly and ask the ancestors to reveal to you, where is the true church? Where is the true church? And where can you find God? He's not up there in the atmosphere in the heavens. You'll find him in the eyes of your children or in your lover. You'll find him in the eyes of your lover. And you'll find him in your children. So you could look there and see there. And when you want to find God, you don't have to look very far because he's within you. And you have to press him forward so people can see him every day. And they won't have to look out in the atmosphere desperately looking for the pie in the sky and the sweet by and by, because it's not there. Remember, this was a religion given to little children a long time ago. But you've grown up now. You must put away the things and toys of a child and become more spiritual-minded and not religion-minded. And please understand, I am not dictating to you what religion you should follow. I am not telling you not to follow a man. I'm telling you to follow that collaborative Godhead that has been placed in you and sit with him and commune with him and let him permeate your body. And as you spend time with God and getting to know God and getting to know yourself, the more you get to know yourself, you get to know God, because you are God, little children. You are God. And you've overcome this world. And as soon as you realize you are God, you will get to a better place in your life. You can get out front and close and personal with God. And God will begin to show you that you are the one that he wants to permeate. You are the one that he wants to spend time with. He wants to use you to open up doors. But you are God. It's okay to say, good morning, God. How are you, God? And speak to each person as if they were God, and if some deposit was in them that was so valuable that you could not afford to interact with God. God could not know experience. Remember, he said, I was alone, and there were none with me. He created us so he could know experience through. He needs us. He really does, because he wants to know experience through us. He's waiting right now. He's submerged in you. And deep in the water, and the only reason you haven't had an experience with him is because you know he's anesthetized and you haven't awakened God. Why don't you stir God up and wake him up so that the real Godhead will stand up, and then you can commune with God and you can become one with God, and your prayers you will say to yourself. Remember, when we speak, we are praying to ourselves, because God resides within us. We are not praying out to the universe, to some fictitious God. We are praying to ourselves and asking the God in us to stand up and to rise up and to do what it is we say that we're going to do. Now, I don't want to talk to you about this again, about talking to the atmosphere, praying out to some fictitious God. You pray inwardly to yourself, Mother, Father, God, on the inside. The real Trinity exists within you. Now, go out and find them for yourself. Going to be a test today, ladies and gentlemen. The test is, you've already had the lesson. Now it's important for you to go out and to begin to subdue a thing, taking dominion over it, and showing that you truly are God. All of the schools of thoughts that I've taken you on so far, you've graduated now. You've gone on to higher consciousness. Higher consciousness. That's what the brother tells me. You've got to look for higher consciousness. You graduated. Now the test is, how many things do you remember as we look over our shoulder, over the Sankofa bird shoulder? How many things do you remember opening up your third eye, being clairvoyant, being able to see in three dimensionals, being able to come out of one school of thought and graduating to the next. How many things do you remember that we have to have forgiveness in our heart if we're going to permeate this earth, and that we're wobbling every day, and that we can stabilize ourselves as we make that transition? Which we talked about the culture and transitioning into a more cultural life and going into our schools and demanding that our children have culture. I want you to know that you've taken a test already. I don't have to give you a test for pen and paper. Every day your life will be a test. And remember, you passed the test, because in the end of the book of Revelation, it does say that you win, that the first will be last and the last will be first. You've already won, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for going through the schools of thoughts with me. We're going to branch out into a new program starting in December. I'd like for you to join me then. And then tomorrow is a special day, will be our favorite last day, that we talk about the last days of before we go into the month of December. Thank you for being a part of the program. Have a great evening.